paid the price.
Yes. Yes.
For all that had went wrong, Lord.
Yes.
And to take us from your side, Lord, that you might have a family.
Right.
And Lord, we're so grateful to be a part of that family. So grateful you sought us out, Lord.
Yes.
And brought us out of wherever we were and whatever confusion we might have been in. Lord, you brought us out, and we're so grateful for it. And we pray you'll bless us in your word tonight, as it always is a blessing when we look at, into it, Lord.
Amen.
We ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
May you be seated. I realized when I, my own book. Can y'all hear me? Okay. If I knock something, maybe. But anyways, I left last night and I realized I hadn't finished what I was saying about Daniel. You know, what would have made him over there like that have that desire to start to pray, to look for those things? Because men in themselves don't do that.
No.
Well, we're born into this world looking for whatever we can mess up, basically. And men have proved that for 6,000 years. Because that's all they've done is mess things up. And so I thought that was incredible that it moved on his heart, that he wanted to start praying 2 years before.
Amen.
So that he could find out what was going on.
No, it's not. It's right here.
So I need to be in this.
No, they both work.
Okay. All right. So, but I'm not preaching about Daniel tonight. So let's. But we wanted to talk about fulfilling all righteousness.
Amen.
And what is righteousness? And what does it mean to fulfill it?
That's right.
And you know, so many times in your life, when you begin to understand things when you're little, you begin to understand things and you understand them down here. And you just see a little bit of it. And then as you get a little older and you understand it a little better, you see a lot more of it. And then finally, when you're actually maybe doing the work or in or putting your hands on it, then you realize at that point that you never saw it right the whole time. You never saw it right the whole time. You had to get into it. It had to be a part of you before you understood it. And so we're going to talk about what God done to fulfill all righteousness tonight. And let's start off in Matthew. This might be a little strange way to start off, but since it was Easter, I thought we would go through when Jesus come down to the river. Brother Ram said that's where his ministry started, right there, that he was ready. When he come up out of the water, he was ready.
Amen.
And the Spirit testified to it because it came down on him to show he was ready.
Amen.
It was ready. And so, but then we'll go from there and we'll go to the crucifixion. And each place we want to talk about him fulfilling righteousness. And then we'll go about the resurrection, and then we'll try to come into today. So you all be praying. You be praying for me that the Lord will say it the way He wants to say it.
Amen.
So chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. So Jesus come to John. John didn't go to Jesus, even though John knew this would have to happen. He didn't go around looking for Jesus. He went doing what he was supposed to do, and Jesus came to him. See, that's the way it always works. Brother Bram said that there was, if you go and read through the scripture, he said, there's only one thing that upsets God, and that's when you get away from his word. And he said, there's only one way to get him unupset is come back to his word.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Amen.
And so John was doing what he was supposed to do. Didn't matter let's get into it here. So at Galilee, he went come from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized to him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John's having a hard time with this one.
Amen.
But see, John already knew who he was when he come down in the water, but the dove had not come down yet. But John knew who. John knew the word. He was the prophet. He recognized the word coming to him.
Amen.
And so Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So he baptized him.
Amen.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. Brother Bram said he went down here in obedience, done what he was supposed to do, and the heavens opened up to him. And Brother Bram says if you God ever does things one way, he has to always do it the same way. So wherever he's come and whatever he's presented in this day, if you come to that, he'll open the heavens to you.
Amen.
He went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, nobody else saw that. Just John. The word was coming to John. We have to take it from John. If we were back there, we had to take it from John. And so he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son.
Amen.
A voice speaking and declaring his love for this man.
Amen.
Now, that's why I thought about Daniel the other night when the angels come declaring their love. And there's so many places in the Bible, anytime man yields to God's word, he loves it. I mean, remember Brother Brown talking about how many times that he told that story many times about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were heating the fire and they were getting it, and he made the drama so that the angels were coming to Christ or coming to God and saying, are you watching what's going on down there? The angels knew what was taking place was incredible. They were watching these men stand up against the king and against all of society in that day.
Amen.
And tell them no.
Amen.
They weren't trying to be haughty. They weren't trying to be anything. Just no. No, I'm not going to do it. Didn't try to raise a rebellion against the king.
Right. Right.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
He just said no. Right. And that, simply staying with God's word on that one thing, caused a stir in heaven. And they come to Jesus and was like, are you watching? He said, yeah, I'm watching. I see it. And another one come. I see it. And he said, I'm going myself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It caused such a stir, he was going himself. Brother and sister, we're living in such a day that it caused such a stir that he come himself.
That's exactly right.
Amen. So let's see what Brother Branham said about this scripture. And if you go and read in, I think it's Mark and John, there's different things in there that Brother Branham touches on here. So if you want to see where he's talking about the same thing, you know, the Gospels are told just a little more detail and stuff. So go there. So Brother Branham is pulling in on that. This is from what is the attraction? I was glad Brother Keenan started further down, so the Lord knows. And one day, an ordinary young man, about 30 years old, walked down and was baptized. Ordinary. God, an ordinary man, walked down. Today, if you ain't got a Cadillac and a bunch of money, or some kind of power or something, then you can't be much. Because the world measures that way.
That's right.
And so one day, and he comes down to be baptized. And when this man come, there was such an attraction by the prophet. So John's already down here baptizing when this comes on. And they're already, the Sadducees and Pharisees are all down there gathered around. They couldn't leave John alone. They had to come down to the other side of the river and start yelling things at him and telling him stuff. And so the prophet, there's an attraction down here at the river now. The Sadducees are on one side saying something on one side of the river, and John's on the other side or in the river baptizing. And the prophet acts strange that day. He acts strange. Something was close. The congregation couldn't help from watching the action of that prophet when he was debating with the priest across the river. They said, God built this altar. God told us to do this. Moses is the prophet. We believe Moses. The sacrifice will never be done away with. See, they're arguing with John. I can hear John answer back. What did he answer back? He told them. He give them the scripture. That's where John was standing. That's what the only thing going to come from John is the scripture. And have not you read in the scripture that Daniel the prophet said the daily sacrifice will be done away with? Haven't you not read it? Do you imagine this going on down at the river? Now that river, I saw pictures. My mom went over there, and I'm not sure I'd call it a river, because at least the part I saw was not very big at all. So maybe that was just the time of the year, because sometimes I know when Joshua crossed, it was much bigger. You know, so, but I just think the whole story of Jesus, every story in the Bible, is so ridiculous to the world. In the way the world judges greatness, and in the way the world judges, if there was a God, then he would do this. He would have to do that. See, they have the same idea of God that Satan had of him. And they miss him just for the same reason. But the daily sacrifice will be done away with, and that hour has arrived. Now, John's acting strange, he said. John's saying stuff, maybe John don't understand why he's saying it.
That's right.
He said, but the hour has arrived. Have not you read that Isaiah said in the 40th chapter that a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? So he's telling them the prophecy of Elias, the one that they miss and ask Jesus about later on.
Yeah.
And he said, another thing, did you not recognize our prophet 400 years ago, Malachi, when he spoke in the third chapter and said, behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. Don't you know this fulfills prophecy? Prophecy was being fulfilled. And about that time, the prophet turned around and said, behold, here comes... But behold, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now you just think about this. A few people down at this muddy river baptizing, these priests arguing with them, and the Son of God walks down into the water.
Amen.
And now what's the attraction? He's telling them, the prophet's going to do this. Haven't you read it? He says he's going to take away the daily sacrifice. Haven't you read it? He said he was going to send me before. Haven't you read it? Don't you see what's going on? And then here he comes.
Amen.
And so what happened, Brother Brown said? What is the attraction now? It's changed from the prophet to his prophecy.
Amen.
Right there in the muddy water.
Yes, sir.
No big grand stairs coming out of heaven like they thought had to happen. No golden road down to the river. No crystal river. None of these things that Hollywood has to make. It was just little. It was little in the world's eyes, but it was not little in God's eyes. It was just right in God's eyes. This was the way he was going to keep the wise from understanding what was going on.
Yes, sir.
This is why he done this. He done it on purpose to hide from the wise. He hid it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it to babes, such as will learn. Such as will learn. Now notice what comes to pass. Here comes an ordinary man, known of no one, a carpenter's son. Even if he's known of anybody, he's got a bad name. Coming, walking out in the water. When John, the great prophet, said, I have need to be baptized to thee. Why comest thou to me? He said, suffer that it be so, but as a prophet and the word, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
So I'm the word, and you're the prophet, and it's time for something that's written in the scripture to take place.
Yes, sir.
So let's do that.
Amen.
Let's don't bypass it. Let's fulfill it all. That's what he come for.
Amen.
To fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
To fulfill what God spoke. That's how you are his righteousness.
Yes.
Because he spoke you and then he fulfilled you.
Yes.
All right. And he said, suffer that to be so, but as a prophet in the word, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. So he understood the sacrifice had to be washed before presented, and he baptized him. So John understood. Guess what? He didn't turn around and baptize John after that. Because he had another way he was going to baptize him. He had a way to he was bringing to pass. I'm bringing yours, John. You do have to be baptized of me. I'm bringing it. I'm fulfilling that too, John. Now there's another attraction takes place when he went up out of the water. So now it switched to the prophecy, and here's another attraction. This prophet who had been so loyal to declare his age and the time, he looked up and saw the heavens open. He saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending upon him. And the voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased. He's not even went out and been tested yet. He's not went in out there to be standing before Satan. But he's well pleased in him. He's dwelling in him. He was dwelling in him before he was tested. Who stood our persecution? Who stands our persecution now? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God was vindicating a prophet's message. What was attracting the attention at the Jordan that day? So this is another about the same scene. Let's look at it a little bit more. Because Brother Branham goes in and tells us a little bit more about what this fulfilling righteousness is. John looked up. Now, what is he? The prophet. And here's the word which comes. There comes the word coming right straight to the prophet. Now, for those who might not be familiar with that, he's referring to Amos 3:7, which says, God will do nothing unless he first reveals it to his prophets. And so that's why he's bringing this type. He's showing that here is the prophet, and here comes Jesus down to him in the water, which is the word. And there comes the word coming right straight to the prophet, right to the water. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There he is. That's him. Jesus never spoke a word. Walked right out into the water. And I can see there, standing in that water, he's making a drama, two of the greatest that ever struck the earth. God the Word and his prophet. And the prophet's the Word too. But God the Word's all of it. John the prophet is Malachi 3. There was scripture wrote about him. And it was being fulfilled. But all scripture is fulfilled in this one. God the Word and His prophet. Notice, the Word come to the prophet in this dispensation of grace. In the water. If you listen to this on tape, you ain't going to miss it. I'm going to try to read it as close as possible. In the water, I thought you'd catch it. He come to him in grace, in the grace dispensation, in the water, in 1933.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. In this dispensation of grace, in the water, I thought you'd catch it. In the water, the first revelation of the Word was in the water.
Amen.
Now, see where the bride started?
Yeah.
That's where she started, back there. The evening light message started in the water. The Word, true Word, not mixed up with creeds. That was the true Word. He was baptizing them correctly. It was the true Word, and it wasn't mixed with creeds, with people's ideas and things. He wasn't out there sprinkling them. He was doing what he knew was the right thing to do, despite everybody he knew telling him he was crazy. That makes God so big to me. It makes him so big to me that the opinions of people in the world makes no difference to him. The thing that makes the difference is what God said. Now we know the prophet had to go through some things because he erred a little to one side or to the left there. But once he learned that lesson, he's done. But come to the prophet in the water, by the water. Notice, could you imagine the eyes of the Word and the eyes of the prophet meeting in the water? Two men's eyes meeting.
Amen.
God Almighty has become a man now.
Right.
He can look into the eyes of this man. This one that he come to get. John was one of them too. He was a prophet, but he come to get John too. He come to get them all.
Amen.
Notice, you could you imagine the eyes of the Word and the eyes of the prophet meeting in the water? Oh, that's too much for me. There stood the prophet, and there stood the Word looking in each other's eyes.
Amen.
And the prophet said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou unto me? Now, at this point, nobody understands at this point yet just how different this man is. Nobody understands that there's not a man on earth like this.
Amen.
That he's not going to follow any of their rules. That he's not going to make sense to any of them, including his disciples part of the time. But he's absolutely the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what he come to fix. See, we don't know what the Word of God is, born into this world in sin.
No, sir.
We can't recognize the truth without him producing the truth and showing us the truth.
Amen.
And the whole Bible's that way.
Right.
He produces the truth and shows us the truth.
Amen.
Over,
absolutely.
That is fulfilling all righteousness, right?
Amen. That's right.
And only he can do it.
Amen.
The Word said it has to be true. Let me give a drama. John, you're a prophet. You know the Word. See, you recognize me. You know who I am. I have need to be baptized of thee. Now, I think this is particularly a tender moment because he knows what this prophet's went through.
Yes.
To be standing here in this water.
Right.
And he knows how he's sold out. And if it stirs God in heaven, it's going to stir it on earth too. It'll stir in the hearts of you when you see it yourself here on this earth. And you better thank God for it, because that's the only way you will see it, is if he shows it to you. No amount of effort will ever show it to you. Jesus said, suffer that to be so. That's exactly right. You do have need to be baptized in me, but remember, John, being a prophet, is be it is behooving to us or becoming to us as the word and the prophet.
Amen.
The word's coming. The prophet has to do something.
Right.
John, being a prophet, it's behooving us, becoming to us as the word and the prophet, that we fulfill every word. Sorry. For John, here's the revelation now. John, you know who I am. I'm the sacrifice. And according to the word of God, the sacrifice has to be washed before it's presented for sacrifice. Is that right? The lamb was washed and then presented for sacrifice, and I am that lamb. I must be washed before I can be presented to the world for a sacrifice. Suffer it to be so, John, for thus it is becoming to us as the word and the prophet together.
Amen.
Well, why is Brother Branham pointing these things out?
Amen.
It is becoming to us to do this together. Well, there can't be a mistake. Can't be a mistake and do something you ain't supposed to do. Can't be a mistake and leave out something you were supposed to do. Now he's reminding John. John, you know this is what the scripture says. So let's do this. John's more than happy to do it. There can't be a mistake. Now, every one of these things. Now see, if it wasn't that very setup, John would have been like any of the rest of us. So they say, yeah, I know who you are, Lord. Well, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Amen.
See why we can't leave it off, John? See why we have to do it in order, John? Because this is God, the word. And there won't be a misstep. Nowhere. Anywhere. And watch what he points out here. Eve left off one. You got to take every word.
That's right.
When he's teaching John this, he's teaching me too. And I am that sacrifice, and I must be washed before I'm presented. But what you said, John, is true. You do need to be baptized of me. John, being a prophet, knowing the word had to be fulfilled, he suffered that and baptized him. And when he was raised up out of the water, there come the message from heaven. This was the message. You did what I said do. Now here's my response to what you did. There come the message from heaven on the wings of a dove. This is my beloved son. He sent the redemption message of grace on the wings of a dove. Come flying down out of the heavens. Peace on earth, goodwill towards man. The sacrifice was ready right then.
Yes, sir.
It was anointed. It was ready. Then raised, fed. Brother Branham said this is where they become one. He's placed.
Exactly.
He was placed right here as a son. The sacrifice was ready right then. Been raised, fed. His ministry was ready. He'd been raised and fed. His ministry was ready, a word that would redeem the whole world.
Amen.
All right. So let's go over to the cross and let's see if even in his death, if he's not still fulfilling righteousness. Because we know he did all the time he was here. But see, he knows the word that is to him for this day. And he knows who he is. There's no doubt whatsoever. I often think about that picture I gave Brother Gerald years ago of that eagle. I gave him a picture of this eagle. And there was in this eagle, and they took a picture. He's looking right straight down at the picture. And you can't hardly look any way without he's looking you in the eyes. And then right down below it, it says, an eagle knows he's an eagle.
That's right.
no doubt, and that's what the look was. It was no doubt. There was no doubt he knew who he was. And there's no doubt that Jesus knew what the word was that he was to fulfill. And there's no doubt in the bride either.
Amen.
Because he brought his spirit and put it in her. So there'd be no doubt. So you'd know all things like he knew all things. So the Greeks couldn't see him because he was hid from them in a human being. Here we go, some more hiding. He's hiding from them down there at the river. He's hiding from them here. Notice his word to them. Except this corn of wheat, and we're going to come back to that hiding in a few minutes, so don't get mad at me for just leaving that there. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, and we're going to talk about why he could do that. Notice his word to them, except this corn of wheat falls in the ground. God, veiled in form of a man, hid himself from their view. They could only see a man. Because he hid himself from them. They had a way of seeing, and he hid himself from that way of seeing. And there was another man, another woman, another group of people that had a way of seeing, and they saw God. God, veiled in the form of a man, hid himself from their view. They could only see a man, but those predestinated seen God. One saw a man, the other one saw God. And what does Brother Branham say? He said he appears to those that are looking for him. And I put a little quote out there in the forum the other day. I was talking to Katrina about that. The little woman, he appeared to the little woman. So evidently, she was looking for him and she didn't know him.
Amen.
So she was wandering from husband to husband to husband, and she still didn't know it. She still had that little bit of understanding in her heart. And God was seeking her out. Because she couldn't seek him out. Why couldn't she seek him out? Because she couldn't interpret the word. God had to come interpret the word. He had to be the Savior. He had to be the Messiah. It was his word, and he had to do that in front of her. She is like a tree. A tree can't get up and move and go somewhere. It can't get up and go hunt around like man. Man wants to get up. I can't walk away. I don't usually walk away. I was there at home the other day. I started walking. I'm like, what's going on? I don't usually walk. So anyways, I was just thinking that you're not like, she was like a tree. She couldn't get up and move and go do her own thing. I used to keep coral at home, and I had these corals, and you put them on the rock and they won't move. They're stuck there and they grow right there. They depend on you to put them in the right light, give them the right water and things like that. And then I bought this anemone and put him in there, and he moved all over the place and made a mess. And that's what man's done. God put him in a place and told him what to do and what not to do, and he moved and made a mess. And so this little woman, even in their fallen state, she couldn't go find him and seek him out. The scripture says that he, the Father, draws you. And that's the only way you're going to come. So what was the God in heaven was drawing her. And what did it look like? A man who was the word that had come forth, that was being manifested and walking along, and showed the sign of the Messiah. And she saw it. He had just what her heart needed.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said that, he said that it was the Chinese laundry where they couldn't speak English, so the way they kept up with their customers, they'd tear the ticket. And you wasn't getting that clothes back until you had the other part of the ticket.
Amen.
And way back, before the foundation of the world,
yes,
God put your one half of your ticket in Christ.
Amen.
He put the other half of the ticket in you. And he comes and brings those two halves of the ticket together. Brother Branham said, you don't have a seed until the two comes together. Then it's a seed. He said, then it's just pulp. He said, go take an unfertilized seed and go put it out here in the ground and see what happens. It ain't coming up. It's not a seed, not something that's going to come forth until those two come together. I'm getting way off there, so let me get back on. One saw a man, the other one saw God. So this is how this is happening. They got that ticket. And that little bit of understanding she had in her heart, that little bit of when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. That was a ticket, brother. That was the key back to the Lord. And he put it in there. And she was helpless until he come by with the other half of the ticket. I had the hardest time putting this together. Like Brother King said last night, how do you? There's so much to talk about, you know? And if you're not careful, you'll go off every direction. So just make sure you're on what the Lord wants and then stay there.
Amen.
One saw a man, the other one saw God. And it was God veiled in a human being, making both of them right. But your faith in that you don't see. Your faith. You're having the ticket. You believe it anyhow. God veiled in a human being. He was in that flesh, and that flesh was his veil. And she saw right past the veil because she had a ticket. She had the other half the ticket. They have these glasses. They're called polarized glasses. If you turn them one way, it's black. It just nothing comes through. If you turn them the other way, everything comes through. So she had whatever it took to make the light shine through. God veiled in a human being. He was in the flesh, and that was flesh was veiled. And the veil was rent, see, that God might be made manifest. What rent the veil? Let's keep listening. Now, at one time, if a man walked through that veil, it was sudden death.
Amen.
So it's just the same thing. You try to go through there on your own. Somehow or another, you as a tree figured out how to move. You're just as good as dead.
Right.
Trying to do it on your own. It was sudden death. Now it's death not to go through it. Now it's open for you to go through.
Amen.
He opened it up.
Yes,
he opened up the heavens for anybody.
Yes,
you know, I know that in one way, Jesus didn't die for everybody.
Right.
But in another way, he did die.
Because
Brother Branham said that one day, those who did not accept him will be held accountable for not accepting him. And so if he didn't die for them, they couldn't have accepted him. He knew they weren't going to accept him, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we know too much, and we can't just believe, you know. Sometimes we want to complicate everything. Now it's death not to go through it, amen. If you can't break the veil of tradition, if you don't have something to break the veil of tradition, you're in trouble.
Amen.
I remember seeing this the other day where they're talking about people keeping this thing on their keychain so that the car went into the water and it starts to fill up. They had this thing and they just tapped the glass and it would just shatter. You don't have a key, you're not getting out. You're stranded in this. Now it's death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break the veil of tradition, break through the wall of denomination to see God in his power.
Amen.
Because that's the only place he's at. He's outside of all that. The whole mercy seat is sitting in plain view. Anybody can see it. The veil is rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. So here it was. John had told them the sacrifice is going to be done away with. Jesus tells them. Jesus goes and he is the sacrifice. And Brother Ram said they're in the temple singing.
That's right.
that song, Psalms 22, I think he said. They're singing that song, and while they're crucifying him, because they're so blind to it. And that, Brother Branham said, broke the veil. That broke it. Because they had crucified him and brought this to pass, now the mercy seat was in plain view of everybody. It was showing that the old one was no more. That daily sacrifice had been done away with. The veil is rent. Glory to God. Can you imagine that? Them men were smart. They knew the scripture. And they sit there and their veils rent, knowing this had never happened.
Right.
Never. And now it happened on its own. Or it would appear to be. To their idea, it was on its own. That's how blindness is. And how thankful we should be that we are not blind. Because you didn't do anything on your own. Nobody can see it. The veil, anybody can see it. The veil is rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. So that crucifixion brought the real mercy seat into plain view and showed that the old one was gone altogether. No more sacrifice. Now, he didn't have to go around and say, now don't do this sacrifice, and don't do this one, don't keep this custom now, don't do this, stop this law in the Jewish. He didn't have to tell them that. All that was done away with. How God could have mercy on foul sinners as us when he hid himself was a mystery. How could he have mercy on us and be hiding himself from us at the same time? That was the mystery. And now we understand. Because he only shows it to those he knew was going to accept it. God don't have to come ask to find out whether you want to or not. He knew it. He knew it. And now it's in plain view or in full view, revealed by his word. It's always the word constantly that is God. It's the word that opens it up. If those people would have known the word of God that day, then that when Jesus died, they would have seen the mercy seat. Everybody saw the mercy seat that was rent over there, the old one. But he's talking about this one.
Yes.
They would have seen the new one. If those people would have known the word of God that day when Jesus died, then they would have seen the whole mercy seat. They would have seen the mercy seat. And they would have seen who he was. And this message identified masterpiece of God. And this message, Brother Branham was gone for 3 months not preaching. And at the beginning of it, Billy was kind of picking on him that he forgot. You know, he forgot how to preach or something. But this message, brother, he wasn't setting off 3 months doing nothing. Because this message is loaded. And the next one, and the next is loaded. Of course, I can't hardly find any message that's not loaded. I mean, after you look at it long enough, like I was saying, after you grow. He was absolutely so perfect till he pleased the sculptor. This is the crucifixion now he's talking about. And inspired him so much until he smote him at Calvary. Oh my. How we see him as the scripture said, God's masterpiece. We see him smitten, stricken, and afflicted of God. There's the real masterpiece. As Angelo struck his, that's what made. If he had just have lived a good life, if he'd been like some of the people that preach social gospel today, he was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He was God.
Yeah.
He was Emmanuel. Meaning God with us. And now what made him exactly to me the masterpiece, and to me and to you is because God smote him. Because something had to be fulfilled before the smite could come. Something had to provoke God or move God to do this thing. And now we see a scene that's getting ready to take place that took place in the garden in the shadow when he took Adam and smote him on the side. Now he's taking you out. He's come in all these 4,000 years now, and he's brought the other half of the ticket. He's bringing it to you now. Because God smote him, he smote him at Calvary. If he hadn't have smitten him, no matter how many dead he had raised, how great he preached, what his great life was, what his claims was, he was proven there. Because he'd said he was this, and God smote him, and God made him that. That's what proved him right there. When you say you're the bride, remember, don't you say it in yourself. Because God is the one who's going to judge whether you're telling the truth or not. What his great life was, what his claims was, so all these different things that happened in his life, they wouldn't amounted to anything if he had not come down here and God judged him and smote him like that. If he would not been so inspired by it. You see what makes God happy? Amen. He proved there he was so pleased. God was till he was the only man that ever stood on the face of the earth that God could smite for the rest of them. That perfect one was smitten for the imperfect. Now you say, well, he could have smote Adam. Could he? Because Brother Branham said he was the only one. He was the only one he ever put his name in. He was the only one he ever said, this is my beloved son who I'm pleased to dwell in. The whole creation had failed through Adam and was redeemed through Jesus Christ. God's masterpiece has stood the test because God was the one standing the test. I remember if it's way back there in 1947 and all the way through, somebody asked Brother Brown and said, well, who saved Israel? Was it Moses or was it God? And here we come back to let us. It behooveth us. And he come back and he said, it was God in Moses delivered. See, God was ready a long time ago. But Moses had to get ready. Moses had to go on the back side of the desert. Brother Ram said he had a bad temper. And he put him out there with his wife who had a bad temper. And he said, could you imagine being a fly on the wall back then when them two tempers back there on the back? But whenever he appeared to him in that fire, he said he was the meekest man in that country. God knows how to prepare his ground. And God's masterpiece has stood the test. How did he do it? By the word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was to him. Amen. That word was to him. He was the way that all man was going to live by, was by him. Amen. And if you want to read some more on that, just go to the harvest time. Because he was just getting warmed up on this one. He cut loose on the harvest time all the way through there. He talks about why. Why is God looking for this man who will believe all the word? Because he's going to be this. That's why. Let's say, hear him say, turn over to Zechariah 11:12, and wasn't that the Messiah? Okay, so this is at the resurrection. So we're moving over to the resurrection now. And Brother Brown said, that the two on the road to Emmaus were headed to Emmaus, and they were sad because they don't understand what's going on. Here they think he was going to restore Israel, and they killed him. All this time they was with him, and they still didn't understand him. And so Jesus decides that he's going to come and educate them with spiritual education real fast. So Brother Graham said this was a six-hour trip. He stressed that. It was a six-hour trip. So if it's 6 hours, they're going into the seventh when they sit down.
Right.
I don't know what that... I'm not trying to make a doctrine, but I'm just saying he pointed it out that it took 6 hours to get there.
Right.
And that the 6 hours was up. They invited him in the seventh hour.
Amen.
Hear him say, turn over to Zechariah 11:12. So he's going to tell them on the road. And wasn't Messiah to be sold according to the prophet? Wasn't he supposed to be sold? And Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You just said that this man was sold for 30 pieces of silver. You just said it and you didn't understand it. Turn over. You getting them scriptures? Zechariah 11:12. And then he said, did you notice that David said in Psalms 41:9, that he was betrayed by his friends? And then again in Zechariah 13:7, he was forsaken by his disciples. Peter denied him. And in Psalms 35:11, accused by false witnesses. And just said he was. All this righteousness being fulfilled. All the things that were wrote about him. That man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You said he was accused by false witnesses. Isaiah 53:7, he was dumb before his confusers. Accusers. He didn't open his mouth. Isaiah 56, they scourged him, the prophet said. Psalms 22, he was to cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You have to be really blind to miss all of this scripture. And he's just listing some of them. Psalms 22 again, 18. His garments were parted among them. Did they do that? And Psalms 22, 7 to 8, mocked by his enemies, the church.
Yeah.
Psalms 22 again. There was not a bone in his body to be broke, but they pierced my hands and my feet. And he said, holding his hands behind him, no doubt. So they were walking. And he held his hands behind him so they couldn't see the nail prints in his hands. That's what Brother Graham is saying. He's holding them behind him as they walk. They pierced my hands and my feet. Holding his hands behind him, no doubt at the time. Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but this is it's a very sweet picture. Because this is the author of the word. Introducing the word to them. He's making it live to them as they just walk from one place to the other. No doubt at the time, Isaiah 53:12 said he would die between malefactors. Isaiah 53:9 said he would be buried with the rich. Psalm 16:10 said, I will not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And it was not Malachi 3 the forerunner of this man. Oh, I'd like to have heard him quote that.
Amen.
Look at the prophecies. Notice then all the types that he might went through with Isaac to Genesis 22, how God foreshadowed Isaac, how Father Abraham took his own son, packing the wood up on the hill and offered up his own son. It was now beginning to soak into them. The Bible, the scripture that they carried around, was walking. See, they still didn't know it was him, but they were starting to think, well, that must be true. He must have got up. He must have rose over here. It must be true. They don't know he's standing beside of them yet. But their understanding's coming up, brother.
Amen.
Their understanding, and I remember something that happened like that in this day.
Amen.
While it was going on here on this earth, there was a lot of people thinking a lot of things, but they didn't understand exactly what was going on. Although Jesus was walking with him, with them, it was now beginning to soak into them. He had done told them they were fools for not looking at the prophecy for that day. I wonder if we could take that. If Jesus wanted to call us a fool for not looking at something. They kept right on walking. Their souls was burning in them, fool or not. Because the fool was leaving. The longer they walked with him, the fool was leaving. And now it began to soak in. Began to see the fulfilling of all this that had taken place in the last few days. In the last 2 or 3 years. The vindicated prophecy of the age. It was then that they knew that their crucified friend, Jesus, had fulfilled every word of this.
Amen.
And he still didn't know he was sitting right there. But they knew he'd fulfilled it all. He's bringing them up.
Amen.
As they're walking through the hours, walking through the ages, he's bringing them up.
Amen.
Bringing them up. Their misunderstanding's leaving. Their heart's burning more and more. He's walking amongst the candlesticks. See, that he was walking there in those hours of teaching them and bringing them where they needed to be. Oh, it was then that they knowed that that man truly was that Messiah. At this point, they want to run and get to the other people and tell them about it. And that, but Brother Bram said it was dark. It was late in the evening. He said that. And then, you know what the name of this message is? Modern events made clear by prophecy. And he's telling about those events so that you look at modern events and see what's going on. And oh, it was then that they know that that man truly was that Messiah and that he raised from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. There's not one word of prophecy can ever fail. And he did raise. Amen. The unveiling of God. I'm getting close. I didn't mean to talk as much on that other there. So let's start bringing home. Start bringing it to now. That's what all the message is about. He can talk about Noah, and he's talking about now.
Yes.
He can talk about Abraham, he's talking about now.
Amen.
He can talk about any of them. That's why they said the Old Testament, they said, oh, the Old Testament's gone. He said, oh, no. That's the schoolmaster, he said.
Yes.
And what did he say when them seals come open? He said, if you can read anything in there and not see Jesus Christ, go back and read it again.
Amen.
You think about a book wrote over 4,000 years apart. It was almost 1,500 or 2,000 years apart. I'm sorry. But if you count him actually doing it and it being wrote, it was 4,000 years.
Right.
All this apart. And every word and everything, every action that took place in every one of the believers down through there was testifying to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How could he do that? Every reaction they had to Satan doing something was God.
Amen.
Every reaction that the Bible was being written, Jesus Christ was being unfolded.
That's right.
I can't remember if it was Brother Glenn or Brother Keenan one said, it's people.
Amen.
What was sealed up in the book was people.
Amen.
What does that make you? A part of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
If that don't make you small,
right.
Then you didn't get it. You didn't get it right. We're inside of Christ now, as then all true believers see him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested.
Amen.
There's a big word. That's a big word, if you can get it, openly manifested.
Yeah. Yeah.
All true believers that's in the Word see God openly.
Amen.
No veil.
That's right.
Nothing's hidden. Not through a glass darkly. Nothing. There's a scripture where it talks about the bride and the bridegroom going into the bridal chamber, into the bedroom chamber. And there's nothing hidden anymore. They one had been away for a long time and there was fasting. There's no more fasting. Brother, sometimes I think we've saw about that much. As much as we have saw, as much as been opened our hearts, I still think we've saw about that much sometimes. Compared to, you know, ever how much there is. I mean, we talk about a lot of things. We understand a lot of things. But how much of it's happening from here? There'd be a whole lot of problems you would not have if you really understood what this said. If it really was coming from in here. When Brother Branham said, I'm getting off again. Let's go back. The veil is rent. And God stands openly before you. Now, what veil is he talking about now? He's talking about the one today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Jesus was crucified again.
Right.
And they put him out.
Yeah, exactly right.
And when they put him out, it made him clear who he was. Because they're going to put God out. They hate God.
Amen.
Not Brother Branham's God, the message.
Exactly.
The veil is rent, and God stands openly before you, manifested. See, God manifested open. In order to do this, but now he said that when that seventh seal comes open, nobody's going to know it. And then he turns right around here and says, it's openly to every believer. In order to do this, our old denomination traditional veil must be rent again. In order for it to be openly in view of you, all your intellectual understanding has to go. All your ideas on how this is fulfilled and how that's fulfilled, he don't need it. He don't need our ideas. We better be like John, standing there at the river waiting for him to come to us. At the river, doing what he was supposed to. He was down there baptizing them. He was down there telling the Pharisees they were wrong. And here come God. In order to do this, our old denomination, traditional veil, must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff. If you're staying among it, then you think there's something to it. It's just like I was reading the other day where Brother Ram said that people are listening to refute.
Yes.
And I thought, that really makes my stomach hurt to think about that. They're listening to refute. And why would they do that? They already think you're wrong. So now they're listening to figure out where they can point out you're wrong. So they're not going to hear a thing. They already thought Jesus was wrong. They already thought John was wrong. They went down there to make their presence known, to agitate him. Because they thought he was wrong. You got to come out from among that stuff. See? You got to come out from relying on yourself at all.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? He said, it's not me that doeth the works.
Right.
Was there any works that he was doing? It was God, that power in him that was doing the works. See, you'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time if you stay over there. Oh, there's nothing to that. But here it is written. Have you got that understanding like that little woman? That if it's written, that means more to you than what somebody says it means. But there it is written, And here it is made manifest to you, see?
Amen.
All right, so we talked about how that he come through the ages there. Well, let's just talk about that a little bit more. So he comes down through the ages. And every time, that wasn't the only veil that was rent back there at the when he was crucified. There was a veil rent when the first seal was opened back there. Because what come forth? The revelation came forth. When the anytime the revelation comes forth, the veil's been rent. Because what is it doing? It's renting the veil. Those are coming against it. And it's rending that veil, and the understanding's coming, and those that against it are being made known. What did he say? Every seal, there's some that receive it, and they're sealed away, and the rest are judgments dropped on them. And so every age, there was a message being brought forth. And it was coming out of what? I meant to grab my Bible. I can't read my Bible unless I put my glasses on. So I've been meaning to buy a bigger one, and so I just used my iPad to do it, and but I wanted to hold it and say that was the book that those seals were on. In every age, when he broke one of those seals, some of that book come out to the people in type.
That's right.
And was living.
It was the living word.
And Brother Graham said every age, though, before they could continue on, they would die, and they drift back off out of it. But there was coming a day when the veil was going to be completely rent on that book, and all of you that's in that book would be made known.
That's right.
So that's where we're going to look at here, just real quick. But now here it comes again, though. Here's a man saying he's opening the seals, that the Lord told him to open the seals, that only the Lamb can open.
Come on, brother.
So here's another veil. And if you don't rent your veil, you're not going to see it. Yeah, we know if the Lord don't rent your veil, I'm going to say it. Sorry. We're going to see that the book says how it become open. Because there, he's standing with it in his hand and it's open.
Yes, sir.
Because he went and got it. How did it become open? It's at the end of the church ages. It's at the end of all these seals being brought. And not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals and opens the book. The Lamb's got to take the book. It's his. Now, we don't want another message. Time's run out. We don't want another message that they're going to drift off of again. We want something that you can't drift away from. So God's going to open the book that hasn't been opened. Now remember, no man in heaven, no man on earth, pope, bishop, cardinal, state presbyter, or whoever he is, can break them seals or reveal the book but the Lamb.
That's the truth.
He's the one who has to fulfill all righteousness. He's been fulfilling righteousness down through his prophets in the candlesticks. Where was them candlesticks at? They were in the oil, which was God. So that was what was happening all the way through. But now the Lamb's coming himself. Something's inspired the Lamb to come himself now. It's come to a place where he doesn't have to let time go on anymore now. He doesn't have to stay on the mercy seat.
Amen.
He's atoned for it now.
Yes, sir.
He can come get her.
Amen.
Not come get the ones on the outside. Whatever that is will be.
Right.
He's come to get her. This message is not to her at all.
Right.
There's just no way she'll that other ones will understand it. Can break them seals or reveal the book but the Lamb. And we have probed and presumed and stumbled and wondered. And that's the reason we're all in such a confusion. And that's the reason the message is in The people around the message are in such a confusion. Because we've done the same thing. Probed, presumed, stumbled, wondered, guessed at. And that's the reason we're all in such a confusion. But with the divine promise that this book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb.
Yes.
That was our promise.
Amen.
So it has to be brought to us.
Right.
Or was we looking for it? Or were we looking for something else? I can't remember who it was that said they was looking for the... Some people were looking for the graves to come open and people to start flying. People's ideas.
Right.
Instead of waiting.
That's right. Right.
But with the divine promise that this book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb.
Amen.
Now, what did Brother Branham receive down at the river?
Come on, brother.
He received a prophecy, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He said, you will forerun the second coming.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Now, when he goes and gets the Lamb, goes and gets the book, the Lamb goes and gets the book. It's not about the prophet anymore.
No,
it's about the prophecy.
Right.
Book of Redemption. And remember, Brother Branham said, and Brother Keenan, I think, brushed up against this the other night. But Brother Branham said, and it's in the part of the seventh seal that he taped and didn't release till after he passed. But it says in there that he never put it together until that day he preached the seventh seal. He never put it together when God told him that third pull would be silent, when nobody would know it. He never put it together with the seventh seal coming open and there being silence and nobody knowing it. He never put those two together, ever. Could you imagine that? He's been preaching this message all over the... He's been preaching about, I'm... got a message in his forerunning second coming. And then he still don't understand this third pull. God keeps telling him about the third pull and keeps telling him about the third pull. And it wasn't until the seals come open that he understood that. But Brother Keenan read the quote last night where it said that sword dropped in his hand. And what did he say that was? The vindication of your ministry. What did he say the vindication of John's ministry was? What was happening right there in the river. That was the vindication of it. That was the book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb. And the seals thereof will be loosed by the Lamb in the last day in which we're living now. When's it going to be loosed? When we're living now. That was 60 years ago. 62 years ago. And not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals. Because remember, the book was being holded in the hands of him that sat on the throne. And the Lamb comes to him and sits upon the throne and takes the book out of his right hand. Takes the book. Oh, that's deep.
Amen.
Taking the book. Now, when we think about it, if Brother Gerald had a book and I walk up to him and I just get it out of his hand, that's not too deep, is it? That's because that's not what it was. Not at all. Neither was taking the seals, taking a knife and cutting something. No. Nothing like that. That's deep. We'll try to solve it out if we can by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're dependent on Him. And we will see later, it is at the end time, when time has run out, that this happens, that He takes the book. No denomination has a right for the interpretation of the book. Nobody does. God interpreted the book all the way down through the ages, and He's going to interpret it now when the seal comes open. No man has a right to interpret it. It is the Lamb who interprets it, and the Lamb is the one who speaks it. He's the one who speaks it. Did you know the Lamb was speaking to us? Looked like Brother Branham to me. But it was the Lamb speaking.
Yes, it was.
What did He say about this word? Spoke from a heart that has His Spirit in it. Those are his words. Those are God's word. I was telling Katrina, I said, I found this quote, and I said, I've tried my best to see if I couldn't fit it in here, and I realized that I shouldn't be trying to fit it in here. But now I see where I can put it. So, because Brother Bram said, he said, God has a thought. And he said, and when he speaks, he said, it's not a creation until he speaks it, and then it's a creation. It's the word. And he said, now, if he takes that thought and he puts that thought in your mind, he said, it's still not a creation. Not until you speak it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Brother Keenan was brushing up on that too last night. So. All right, so notice it's not revealed. And I brought that up because it was the Lamb speaking. What did Brother Ram say when he come through those lines? And all those times somebody would come up to him and he was going to pray for him. And he'd tell him what was wrong with him. He said, what do you think that is? He said, I don't know what's wrong with these people. I can't think it up. He's not like these, I don't know what these guys are called. But they can like read, they can say little things and they will watch your face and see like little twitches. And they can tell when it's a yes or a no. And they can figure out and read your mind like that. Not really read your mind, but read your mind by reading your body language. He wasn't doing that. And Brother Branham, I heard him the other day, he said, somebody is thinking I read their mind. He said, and I can't find that spirit. He said, if I do, I'm going to call it out.
Amen.
And I don't think he had any more problems after that. So, but it's so good.
Amen.
But he didn't know their thoughts. Brother Ram said, a thought come in his mind. He said, where'd that thought come from? He said, God knows that thought. So God give him the thought, and he spoke it. He didn't come up with none of that. He couldn't go run God down and say, what do you think? What's she got? What can I tell her what she's got? No. What did he say when he come to the pulpit? I'm dependent solely on him. And if he comes to the pulpit that way, I think he lived his whole life that way. Every son and daughter of God will live their life that way. Thanks to him. Amen. So, oh my. So let's move on down here, brother, to paragraph 80.2 of Ephesian Church Age. Or sister. I didn't know sisters. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. Now you see how dead you got to be? You don't have an identity. Your identity is him. If you still got an identity outside of Jesus Christ, then you are not married to Jesus Christ. You're just like one of these pretenders. Brother, I read a scripture a while back. It said, in the last days, seven women will come to one man and say, let us work and make our own bread, just be called by your name, to take away our shame. And I thought, if that don't fit the churches, the churches are so bad. The money is their God. Pretty is their God. Wealth, power, control over the government, that's their God. They want to rule this world. You know, Satan tried to give it to Jesus that way, and he wouldn't take it, but they took it.
Amen.
Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. And they did.
Amen.
How thankful you ought to be.
Amen.
Wherever God's sons and daughters are in this world,
Amen.
How thankful they ought to be. One, I think it's just one more here. Let's talk about this gold for just a minute.
Amen.
But there is a gold of God. Not a gold of the world. Not things of the world. There's no value in this world at all. It won't be until it's all made over again. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, what was the faith once delivered to the saints? It wasn't faith in him, he said. It was his faith. His faith. This is what makes the righteousness the fulfillment of all the righteousness. Because see, you got to be part of that. And he made a way to fulfill that was in you. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of your faith. I gave you faith and I'm going to try you. The gold of God is a Christ-like character produced in the fiery furnace of affliction. This gold he's given us, it's a character produced in the fiery furnace of affliction. Any other way, there's no other way. That is the right kind of gold. But what kind of gold does the church have today? It has put the worldly goal that will perish. It is rich. It is complacent. Remember the rich young ruler to come to Jesus. He had all these things. He's observed the Ten Commandments. He'd observed the law all of his life. Couldn't put a finger on his life. But what was he dependent on? He was dependent on that. And in a few minutes, Jesus saw that. And said, go sell what you have and go and follow me. You're not following me. You're following a set of rules. You're not following me. And he turned away because he was sad at that saying. Now think about it. He knew that man had something and he wanted it. And he went there and wanted to know what the price was. And Jesus told him it was free. Just give away what you got and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't depend on him. He couldn't see past the veil. He looked just like a man. And ain't that something? He looked just like a man and he couldn't lay his money down and follow him. But he come by Matthew and, or is it Matthew? One of them, he come by, he said, come follow me. They just dropped what they was doing and just started walking after him. Tell me that's not faith. In there. You tell me that's not predestinated, isn't there? That don't happen by accident. No, sir. That other ticket got too close and he couldn't resist. And what was it Peter said? Where are you going to go? He said, where are you going to go? You going to go to? You know, I've thought about them words and how could he say have said those nicely? I can't think of it having been nice. Are you going to go to? Them just left. Are you going to? Where would we go, Lord? He done burned all the bridges. The lights has come on and all he could see was the truth. He couldn't understand hardly anything of it. But all he could see was the truth. And so he was following it. Look at him. Go back and read that in the scripture. Look and see what's happening. The woman who saw him with it and needed his feet washed, and the little woman at the well, all those different stories in there. It's all there. It was rich and it was complacent. And that's what he said happened to the first church. They were ardent. He said, that God was their highest calling. It was their high calling to follow Him. Whatever His Word said, that was the first thing they wanted to do. It was the most important thing to them at all. And He said, what happened when Satan come? It didn't stop being important. It was just a little less important. And that was Satan. That was Satan. And Brother Branham said, go back. He said, they had a goddess Diana. And when you look at it, it didn't even look like a figure almost. It didn't even look like a person. It was so subtle. It was like, what is it? That's how it was. It was a little complacent. And how can you get complacent? If your eyes, if He's in you, then you only want what He wants. You can't want something else. All right, I said I was quitting, and now I went over. Just let me get done with this. Amen. It is rich. It is complacent. It has made affluence the major criteria of spirituality. Affluence. I'm a leader. I'm a natural born leader. So they follow Him. They can speak well. So they follow Him. Obama could speak well. He could explain Himself to the T. And when He got done, you understood perfectly that He was still wrong. And then He started off, I'm not getting on politics. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give an example, okay? Because they can speak so well. And Paul said He didn't come like that, even though He could come like that. Because it wasn't about Paul. It was about God in Paul. All right, so the evidence of God's blessing and correctness of doctrine is now based upon how many rich folks are involved in it. You had better come before it's too late, saith the Lord, and buy of me gold tried in the fire.
Yeah.
And when you, and then you'll be truly rich. Are we getting it? Listen to me. Naked physically we came into the world, but naked spiritually we will not leave it.
Oh, that's right.
Oh no. We're going to take something with us.
Amen.
And what that something is all we can take with us. Nothing less and nothing more. So we had better be real careful now to see that we take something that will make us right before God.
Amen.
Pure gold. Come buy of me pure gold.
Right.
How are you buying it from me? That's what the scripture says. So then, what will we take with us? We will take our character, brother.
Amen.
That's what we're going to take with us. The one that comes by being tried. There's no other way. You will take our character. I just preached a message the other day. Faith is a gift. Character is not. He give you His faith. You have to fight to have the character. We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of character will you take with you? One produced by the fiery trials? What kind of character will you take with you? Will it be like His, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? Jesus' character was perfected by suffering. Not because He'd done something bad and He had to suffer for it. No, he was suffering because He was standing for that word. And they were coming against it over and over.
Amen.
And what was that doing? It was building a character in there. That was the only way that could be built.
Amen.
The thing you're going to take with you when you leave this life, that was the only way it could be built.
Right.
By standing for the word.
Yes, sir.
And suffering through it.
Yes, sir.
The world don't like it. The world hates it. Was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction, or will it be softness of this characterless Laodicea people? It is up to us, up to each one of us, for in that day every man will bear his own burden. Amen. So there's more quotes in there. You go ahead and read them. When you get, I'm going to stop. I don't ever preach that long. Nobody went to sleep on me. I didn't see. I saw a couple of eyes closed one time, but nobody went to sleep on me. And Aspen was asking me a question the other day. These kids listen. They listen and they think about the stuff. They go off and think about it. And she asked me, how'd she say it? She said, "Papa, if God made Satan, how can he be bad?" And I said, "That's a good question, honey." So I tried to just answer her in a sentence or two, you know. And I thought I answered her, but I don't know if I quite had her attention. So the next time she come to see us, we weren't talking about the message. We were talking about, I'm not sure what it was, but somehow or another she thought of it again. And she said, "Papa, why, if God made Satan, is he bad?" And I said, "Well, honey," I said, "you, when you get up every day, you have to choose whether you're going to be good or bad, right?" I said, "You, when mama tells you don't do this, do that, you have to choose." I said, "So God told Satan this is what he was supposed to be. He made him the way he was supposed to be. But he also let him choose." And I said, "He chose to be bad. He chose to go that way and chose to do that." In the midst of all those angels and the holiness of God, he still wanted his own way that bad. And God saw that in him a long time before he ever made him. And Brother Bram said he put him in that position as beautiful because he knew it would bring it out of him. Because he would start to think of himself as somebody. And we are somebody as long as it's in Christ. He started to think of himself as somebody who knew better than Christ. And if you can't see that in this world nowadays, I'm going to pray for you that you see that. Well, let's stand. I'm not a song leader, so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn it over to whoever's the song leader, Brother Don, or whoever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how grateful we are to you, Lord, that in our midst of our failures and our faults and our walking in the mess that we were in, Lord, that you reached down and caught us and took us out. Lord, you made us sons and daughters. Lord, you placed us in Christ. And Lord, how grateful we are, Lord, for those things. We could never thank you enough, Lord. One day we'll be able to thank you better, I guess, but we'll never get it done. And Lord, that's okay. We're just so thankful, Lord. As Brother Paul said years ago, that it was Christ to live, and it was gain to die. And Lord, let us live here for you like that, Lord. Living, believing that you are bringing Christ out. And may it be just that, Lord, not us anywhere. Us is supposed to be dead. And Lord, we pray that you'll go with us from here tonight and bless us around your word tomorrow and the next day. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Who wants to?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That was so good. Sweet. So sweet. Amen. And he started off right in the scripture, but he brought it right into the day,
yes, sir.
Right into the hour.
Yes, sir.
And that's the beauty of it every time. It's His righteousness. It's Him fulfilling all of it, every bit. But you're the veil. You're the veil today. He's been, from beginning to ending, He's been doing it. And now, here we are. And He's let us be a part of it. I tell you, I praise God. I thank God. Amen. We appreciate it so much. Now, I only said one thing wrong. I'm going to have to straighten it up. He said He's not a singer. He's a really good... He's a really good singer. I really enjoyed the song the other night. It was so good. And I was really hoping he was going to sing again. So, praise the Lord. So now we're going to invite somebody. Does somebody feel to come lead us in a song or two? I'm not looking at Michael on purpose. But we can't go without singing a song. We gotta sing a song and give praise to His lovely name. This was a great message. We really appreciate it, brother. And so we thank God. Amen. And some of you brothers, you know, you could be bringing your guitars and your mandolins. And there's so much talent. There's so much talent here. And we just thank God. And so we appreciate so much.
Amen. I really did enjoy it. Clothed in His righteousness. His righteousness is His word. And He put it right there in us. We're going to sing a song, Let Your Word Be Born. Amen. Your God.
Let Your Word Be Born in the manger of my heart. Lead me from
the service tomorrow. Brother Goom will be ministering. So I know what it is to be here ministering and have your turnover and the pressure goes. And so I know what he's feeling. Of course, I say I know. I don't know. He gets to preaching and he says, that man ain't got no pressure on him. He just needs a mic. So we're really looking forward to hearing from him tomorrow. I'm going to ask him to come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer. You be praying for them. And we'll have food afterwards.
So God bless you. I think we have so many today. I think there are very many new faces. Thank you very much for coming. Most welcome. And why don't we have Brother Andrew? Brother Andrew, why don't you pray for us? Just come here and pray for us. Come here and pray for us. This is Brother Andrew. Thank you, brother. 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 And thank you very much for coming, and every one of you for coming. That was a great, 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 great message. And we loved it. We really loved it. I don't know how. I think you're gifted in that. You know, you come from here, you come slowly, and you get it home. And I can't do that. I really can't do that. And the other thing is, you talked about, that was very good. You talked about Daniel and the three brothers. And something he said there, I've never looked at it like that. They were not trying to be opposing. They were not just trying to be rebels. You understand that? I have never looked at that like that. They were not trying to do that. They were not trying to stir in the waters. It was just in them. We can't do it. We are sorry. We can't do it. Amen. We can't do it. I remember that scripture underneath. You know what he said? They said, "Oh, good king, we are not negotiating about this. There's nothing we can do. Oh, good king." They were still calling him good king. In other words, there's no negotiation. There's nothing we can do. We're just like that. We can't do it. We know the fire is there. We know you've added the fire. You know it's so bad, it's so much. Mm-hmm. We're sorry. There's nothing we can do. We don't want to burn. We don't want to die. And we're not telling you that our God is going to save us. We're not saying that. We're sorry. We better die. We can't do that. In us, there's something that cannot worship nothing but him.
Praise with God. Give us a prayer, brother.
God bless you. God bless you.
It was good to be here.
Amen.
That was, Brother Chris, that spoke to me. That was good. That was really good, sir. I appreciate you getting out of the way and letting the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only way it can be done. I think Brother Branham said one time that the only gift he gave us was to get ourselves out of the way. And I think even people that are not preachers, people that are like me, little nobodies or whatever, you still have to get out of the way and let him him do that, you know.
Right.
So that was good, brother. I appreciate that. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the service that was just given to us, Lord Jesus. I can't thank you enough for that, Lord Father. And Lord, being here today with believers in Light Versus Faith, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for that. And Lord, I pray not only that we receive you here, but even in our daily lives, at our works, at our house, places that were not seen, Lord, take over us in those times where no one else can see. No one else would know what you'd be doing. I pray that you would just be in those times as well. I pray that you would just give us the grace to get ourselves out of the way. And to let you take over. Because within ourselves, Lord God, we can't do anything ourselves. It's only you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us as we leave and we fellowship afterwards, Lord God. I pray that you just touch each and every one of us. and go with us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Can I have everybody's attention? Brother Don. Hey, I need to apologize. I need to apologize again. I didn't take up an offering. I'm sorry. If you have an offering, if you want to bring it up here, just drop it in the bowl. I apologize.